Amen. We celebrate Jesus and his death, amen, and the blood that is shed for you and I. Hallelujah.
Oh, Every child of God should have that testimony. I am an overcomer. We bless the car. We bless the Lord today. We thank God for my wife. Amen. Being here today. Amen. We had a long night, but God's still good. Amen. Amen. Old timers said, as long as you have a reasonable portion of your health and strength, you ought to have a mind to say thank you. Maybe you don't have everything you want. But if somebody knows God's been good, I say, you know, God's been good. So in spite of what we don't have, hallelujah, we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. I heard Paul tell in the book of Timothy, having food and raiment, we ought to be. Come on, having food and raiment, we ought to be content. And bless the Lord for 2017. We thank God for saying, Sister Heather Johnson. You call on that phone, goes to the answering machine. When it goes to the answering machine, Sister Johnson, that means you're supposed to call back. my wife said, well, we can't get her, so we call Brother Johnson. Uh-huh. Amen. But nevertheless, we thank God, amen. She had a life and death situation, but how many know God is good? Come on, how many know God is good? And some are going through what she went through, they weren't here to give a testimony. Some went through what she went through and they weren't an overcomer. Well, Sister Johnson, are you an overcomer? Hallelujah. Yes. Brother Johnson, is she an overcomer? Yes. Somebody has to be shocked on both of us. God has been good. Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen. We thank God for last night's service. And our theme for this year is, what is our theme? Hear a spiritual increase. Amen. And we said last night, if you pray an hour for 2016, amen. Can we pray an hour and 15 minutes in 2017?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And King Joe, I know this book. King Joe, I know this. So we can get rid of that. I guess it's real hot, and the devil turned the air conditioner on. Trying to cool it off. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There you go. Thank you. Sounded a lot better. Amen. You know it's hot. We ain't touched that since July. Amen. And for it to come on down, the devil trying to cool us off. Amen. Cool us off. Amen. So this is going to be the year of spiritual increase. If you read your Bible one day out of the week, make it 2 days this year.
Amen.
Whatever you do, just do what? Look at somebody say, increase it.
Increase it.
Because Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else you have, you don't have to work to get it. He's going to do what? Right? How many want God to do some stuff?
Amen.
And seek him. And then he's going to add everything else. Amen. So we bless him off in 2017. And our scriptures for that were 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's verse 5. It says, giving all diligence, add to your faith
virtue
and spiritual excellence. And for those that want to be politically correct, to your virtue, knowledge. Amen. And as I was praying, and after we had left, one of the most pivotal scriptures for a year of spiritual increase was John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. So everyone else made John the Baptist great and Jesus less. But John said that Jesus must
increase.
And how many know we must
decrease?
That spiritual increase. When we decrease and he increases. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. So in all for us to have spiritual increase, I was telling somebody earlier today, we should be hiding behind Jesus. We should be hiding behind the anointing. Because when we hide behind Jesus and the anointing, people don't see us, but they see God.
Amen.
Right? So if this podium is an anointing, as long as I'm back here, you see the podium. Right? But if I get in front of God, and if I get in front of the anointing, you don't see the anointing, but you see me. Today, turn me down just a little too loud. If you you see me, I messed up. Because all I want you to see in me is Christ.
Amen.
We're living in a day and age where we see too much. Even I don't care if I am the pastor. God has to be
grace.
Amen. Amen. If you see me, I messed up. I need to go back to the drawing board. Amen. Because you should always see Christ. Because he must
increase.
Jesus must
increase.
And that's the way we have to examine all of our lives. In our daily activities, in our activities and relationships with our family and friends. What do they see when we come together? That's so important. What do they see? Because the Bible says that we in the church are the what? Light of the world. Amen. And because we're the light of the world, amen, the Bible says, let our light so shine before men that they may see our
good works
and not glorify us. But glorify, for to glorify him. On your job, yeah, do your job to your best. But when they see you on your job, they should say, I know that is a child of God. Because he must, and we must, amen. If you're driving down the street and somebody cuts you off, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, bless the Lord, and praise the Lord anyhow. And not get an attitude. You got to do what?
Jesus.
All right, that's good. That's every week, Lord will give you a little more. Amen. But at this time, let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Which we're coming from Luke, the 8th chapter. Man, Gio was singing that song. I was shouting with him.
Amen.
The Bible says, when one suffers, what happens?
Yeah.
When one rejoices,
we all
rejoice. When one gets a promotion on their job, we all get a promotion. Because in the body of Christ, how many know we all?
One.
One, right? So I know we say, well, that's your problem. That ain't your problem. Because we all have a kindred spirit. And that spirit is the Holy Ghost. So we need to share in one another. Amen. I know we have a lot of things in our life. I'm supposed to go here, but I'm going to stay here because I'm a messed up person. Anyway. I'm going to stay here for a minute. It ain't in the script. All right, my wife said, I'm going to keep standing up and sitting down. I said, this is the third time I said that. All right, let's go to Luke 8 chapter. I go there afterwards. 8 chapter, verse 41 of Luke 8, man. It's something we're all pretty familiar with. We're going to read verses 41 through 48 together. Amen? The 41st verse read, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her livings upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stands. And Jesus said,
to hear our cry.
Amen. God can be going somewhere else. But how many know God can touch you also? Yes. Amen. We used to sing a song, "Somebody Touch Me." And oh, sure, that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know. Who touched me? He touched me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He touched me. Amen. Today, we need, I was praying this morning, I say, a lot of us are faith talkers. Listen, we are faith talkers, but we are doubt walkers. A lot of us talk faith. But when you watch our lives, we walk in doubt. Amen. We say, we know God can do this. But then when you speak sometimes one-on-one and you deal with individuals one-on-one, you say, where is your faith? It reminds me of a time, I'm going to get to this, when Jesus told his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now, it's so important. I don't know what any of us may be experiencing or going through today, but as long as Jesus is on board, experience. I don't know what the doctor, the lawyer, anybody else told you, but as long as you got Jesus on board, you don't have to worry about a thing. They said, as they were crossing over, there came a great storm. And the Lord was in the hinder part of the ship. Then we know that ain't true. Because he that keepeth Israel, he don't slumber or sleep. So God was in the hinder part. He just had his eyes closed. But he was still in charge. And he still knew what was going on because he might have slumbered or sleep. So they went and woke him and said, Master, care not that we perish. Amen. How many know that God already knew what he was going to do? The question is, why were the apostles so worried when Jesus? Because they were faith talkers. Right? But they were doubt walkers. They didn't have faith to believe that Jesus is on board. Every last one of us that had the Holy Ghost, guess what? Jesus is on board. Thank you. Because he's on board, you don't have to tell them nothing. Because he owns.
Peter,
glory, but he controls the waters. Right?
unto you. How many of us have been walking alone and was all in control? You know what I'm saying? Somebody said, trouble water. God gave Peter the ability to walk on his troubles.
Yes.
Right? He said, the trouble was the water.
Yes.
But he was walking on his trouble by
faith.
How many of us have been walking on our troubles by faith?
Yes.
Until we start looking at the storm. Then when we look at the storm, the Bible said immediately he began to. But thank God Peter had the present mind and said, Lord, save me. God had not changed. His course had not changed. But that caused Peter to sin. Well, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house to hear his daughter, his only daughter. And she was only 12 years old. And then the scripture drops down and says, and a woman having an issue of blood for 12
years.
Why did he use 12
so many times?
You know why God uses scriptures? You know, we can't get that 12 ain't just an anomalous 12. But that 12, look at somebody say that 12 means something.
I'm gonna let y'all find that out because I'm trying to say it.
That 12 means something. It said the woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, which had spent all that she had. Neither could be healed of any. Came behind him and touched. Lord, thank you. Touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue was stopped. Amen. And in Mark, the 5th chapter, the same verse says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. But then Matthew says she touched the hem of his garment. Amen. Now, Jesus was in a press. That means he had what? He had a crowd. And there were people all around him. How many of you know that when he was about to go to the cross in Gethsemane? Gethsemane means the oil press. So he was in the press with this woman in the beginning of his ministry, and he was in the press in the end of his ministry. But there was something about a press. If you're going through a press, you ought to thank God for it.
Yes.
Because when you're in a press, that means God is about to release some anointing in your life. So Jesus is in a press. And this woman had an issue of blood. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, she had a whole lot working against her. First of all, because she had an issue of blood, ceremonially, she was considered to be unclean. Because she had an issue of blood. When you have an issue of blood, you're not supposed to be with the rest of the people. So she's fighting through a crowd. Problem number one, she was unclean. According to tradition or the ceremonial law of the Jews, she was not supposed to be there. But how many know when you need something from God bad enough? I said, when you need something from God bad enough, don't tell me how God works and what God will do and what God won't do. I got to get to him for myself. I got to touch him for myself. Now, what am I, if you read the story, so she touches him of his garment. So that means she wasn't standing up when she got to Jesus. She was doing what? She was crawling. So sometimes when God helps you, you got to get up your high horse. You got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and when you begin to crawl, God can't help you. So this woman considered herself to be so unworthy, she didn't come in the front of Jesus. She came out because God gave his grace to the humble. God gave his grace to the lowly. Amen. And the Bible said when she touched immediately she was made whole. So then Jesus looked at the woman. When first he looked at her, he said, who touched me? How do you know Jesus represents the church? Because he's the head and he is the body. So he represented the church. All those thousands of people in church was touching Jesus.
that is so important. Each one of the writers writes differently. Mark wrote to all. Luke wrote to all. But Jesus, Matthew was writing from a Jewish perspective. So it's so important. When you read the Bible, understand that Luke wasn't Greek. He was not writing from a Jewish perspective. Matthew was a what? Jew. So Matthew is writing from a Jewish perspective. And that's why Matthew does not say he touched the garment, the edge or the outer part of the garment. He said, but he touched, she touched the what? The hem. Because the Jews knew. And just like you read in Psalm 133 and verse 2. When it says that, like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard and flowed even to the earth. Right? It flowed right down. The Jews knew that all the power, when you touch the anointing, is where? In the air. So Matthew is not writing from a Greek or Gentile perspective. But Matthew says she touched the hair. Well, when God had Moses anoint Aaron as the priest, Moses was sanctifying him in a special place. So they didn't just use any kind of oil, but they used anointing oil. And when they poured the anointing into the way the robe was made, all the anointing of the oil connected in and collected in the hair. This woman, being a Hebrew, knows her. I just got to touch where the power is at. You know why a lot of us are getting healed? We're not touching the power. Amen. Some of us are too proud to get down and crawl. Some of us are too high and mighty to humble ourselves. The Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He said, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. God saved us such that saved me, God will deliver you. God saved us such as we are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. The reason God has delivered some of us is our spirit is not yet broken. Yes, Lord. The reason God has not made some miracles for us because our spirits are not broken and our hearts are not right. Amen. But will you get it right? I said, will you get it right? You need to let God be God and let God be true. And stop trying to change. Didn't Hebrew 13:8 say Jesus Christ the what?
Amen. That's why the Bible said, and be not conformed.
Your job, your body, your status won't mean anything. The only thing that will count is God will say, well done, thy good and. Who are you faithful to? The church? No. Faithful to the pastor? No. Faithful to who? Because if you love me, right? So a lot of us love God, but we're not walking in his commandments. It's so important today. I want a healing touch of faith. Now, if we were the one with the issue of blood, how many of us would never have even made a step to go towards Jesus because we were considered to be unclean? You know, a lot of us would allow the devil to disqualify us from receiving blessings because we could have messed up. But Jesus said, your sins and your iniquities, I don't remember them anymore. I get so confused by that scripture every once in a while. I just get confused by that. Because it said, Jesus said, I don't remember them. Everybody in church. You know, there be some people in church who remember all their mess ups. Just trying to help you out a little bit. Jesus said, I don't remember, so they be bringing up stuff, and the Bible said, there's death on there, no condemnation to them who are in. Just stay in Christ. Don't worry about the condemnation, because who can harm you if you be followers of that which is. They'll give you all the scriptures. You have to remember these. Memorize things right here. As I give them, I'll give them to you. So we're trying to get right with God, trying to do it our way. Does not work. You won't get healed doing it. And you know the good thing about healing, a lot of times we think that God has to heal us like we want it. You know, like Hezekiah said, Lord, just speak to me. God said, no, Hezekiah, go make some salve and put it on that ball for 3 days. He said, then I will. Somebody said, well, you got faith. God will do it all of that. Listen, God works according to your faith. So don't you come and tell me what God wants you to do for me. It's the healing touch of what?
Faith.
But you can't have faith for me. And I cannot have faith for you. Faith has to be an individual thing. Because without faith, it is what? If you walk into me in doubt, you cannot please God. If you walk in doubt, in here in doubt, do not walk out in doubt. Because if you walk out in doubt, you cannot please God. Because he that cometh. Anybody just want to come to God? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden. He said, I give you. It's time to come to God. And the Bible said, you know, a lot of times we mess up and we say, Lord, none of us will ever listen. None of us will ever be worthy to come before God. I don't care what we do. Because in all of our righteousness, the Bible says we are sealed and filthy rag. Job said, what unclean thing can make itself clean? In other words, we can never clean ourselves up. Our cleansing comes through the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's why the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there ain't no remission of sin. You can't be cleansed without going through the blood. That's why baptism in Jesus' name is so important. Because if we are baptized, well, Christ has also risen with Christ. So it's important that you've got to be clean. Well, how do I get cleansed? Doing it God's way. I can't do things my way. I can't act on God. Listen, I don't care how high I get. I can't act on God. God even says this to parents. He said, parents, don't you provoke your children to wrath. He said, just because you have arrived, whatever you are, and you have that, that does not give you permission to act unkindly. You understand? So we act because we are, you know, we, whatever we are. You put that in for yourself. We wet, we can come to God and do what we want. And they say, God, why did you heal me? Because all those people touched Jesus. How many got healed? Think about that. Because he had a different approach, as we all say. It's so important. We want the healing touch of faith. But faith and healing does not come through doing it our own way. Amen. We cannot excuse away scripture and think that we can be right with God. The woman said, whatever it takes, I've got to get to you. She would let a crowd keep her away from Jesus. But how many of us would let little stuff keep us from coming to Jesus? It's all about a new change. It's all about a healing touch. God does not touch unrighteousness. God only touches righteousness of the age. Hallelujah.